continue our series on the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. It was really interesting. Last night, the kids, Karis came home yesterday afternoon, and she's going to Germany on Tuesday. So a couple of days here, she invited some friends, and one of her friends that was there was talking about Pentecost Sunday. And my kids are like, "Dad, well, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday." And I'm like, "Yes, we do." And now she comes from a Catholic tradition, so more liturgical. But I thought, just thought it was interesting that they were talking about the Holy Spirit. And next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So we'll conclude our series then. But we'll continue this. Just a quick way of reminder. Last week we talked about, answer the question, what does the Holy Spirit do? And we said that the Holy Spirit has primarily two ministries. A ministry to unbelievers. And think of that as an external pressure, conviction. He's wooing, he's drawing, pointing them to Christ, convicting them of sin and righteousness, the Bible says. That's for the unbeliever, for those that don't yet know Christ. For the believer, those who are already Christians, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is more internal in guiding us, in witnessing, giving us that inward witness, comforting us, strengthening us, and so many other things. And you can go to the website and listen to the sermon or catch the live stream from last week. I want to repeat the quote that I mentioned last week from Gordon Fee in his book, God's Empowering Presence. He says, the Holy Spirit as person, the person of God himself, as God's personal presence, the Holy Spirit as God's empowering presence. So I think it's very important that we remember that the Holy Spirit with us is God himself, and that he is always present with us. And the reason why he is present with us is to empower us. Oh, how desperately we need that, don't we? So this week, we asked the question and tried to answer, why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Well, I have a question for you. Have you ever bought or been given something you really didn't need? Anybody? I know Father's Day is coming up and you'll get another tie. I mean, for Mother's Day, we at least give them chocolates, you know? I don't know what you get, but many times we give people or we buy things for ourselves that we don't really need. Or have you ever been bought something that you had a hard time figuring out? When was the last time you got a cell phone? Ever tried to set one of those things? Ever gotten one of those, you know, slightly more complicated IKEA pieces of furniture that no matter how many times you look at those instructions with those drawings, you're turning upside down, you look them up, and you do all these things, it still does not make sense. And you go through it, and you end up with extra parts. You know, sometimes there's these things that we either don't know how they work, we don't know what they're for. We don't know what their purpose happens to be. Well, we don't want the Holy Spirit in our lives to be like that. We want to know why we need the Holy Spirit, why and what it is that he does. So number one, there's four reasons I'm going to give you today why we need the Holy Spirit. And then I'll finish by giving you a story. And then we'll sing and invite you to for a moment of prayer. So number one, one reason that we need the Holy Spirit is because Jesus returned to the Father. Jesus went back to heaven. And the Bible says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I've mentioned to you that the picture of sitting, this is what the rulers of the time did when they had finished everything, all their work, and they was just enjoying what they had done. And imagine Jesus saying, my work of redeeming the world, I have done everything I need to do. And now it's just a matter of time until that becomes full reality. So Jesus went back to the Father, and we read in John chapter 14, a couple of verses here that says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And in another place, Jesus said, actually, it's better that I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. And again, we mentioned the last couple of weeks that one of the reasons for that is that Jesus whose body had not yet been fully or had been glorified, but his ministry was still in some ways affected by just regular laws of physics. Jesus could only be at one place at one time. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he can be everywhere all the time. He can be here with you in Devon. If you're off to work in Edmonton, he'll be with you there. If you're working somewhere else, he'll be there with you. When you go camping this summer, he will be there with you. When I'm out mountain biking, he's there with me. When you're at the grocery store, he's there with you. When you're sitting in the hospital with your spouse, just, you know, killing time, he's there with you. When you're at home changing diapers and feeding babies, he's there with you. When you're out driving from point A to point B, he's there with you. When you're cooking, when you're mowing the lawn, when you are at school, when you are flying, anytime, everywhere, the Holy Spirit is with you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you don't have to say, well, you know, in all my packing, I better pack the Holy Spirit to come with me. Don't want to leave him behind. You ever travel and you got to your destination and realize you forgot something you really needed? I'm so glad that that does not happen with the Holy Spirit. He's in us and with us. He's by our side. We can never go somewhere where we're going to leave him behind. And isn't it wonderful that you get there and you show up and the Holy Spirit is already there? What a wonderful thing. That's why Jesus said, I'll go back to the Father. I'll send someone else, the Holy Spirit, one just like me, and he will be with you and in you all the time. Aren't you glad that he doesn't leave us? He doesn't just like, oh, well, you know, see you later. I'm done with you. We are the children of God, and he lives in us and with us. Reason number two. We need the Holy Spirit because we're not enough. Have you ever found yourself in a situation in life when you're like, I don't know what to do? What decision should I take? Should we leave? Move somewhere else? Should we stay? Should I take another job? Should I stay where I am? Should I marry her or should I marry her or her or her or her? Should I study this program or that program? Do I talk to my friend who doesn't know Jesus? Do I not talk to them? You know, that life brings us situations where we simply do not know what to do, and we are just not enough in and of ourselves. It's okay to admit that. Listen to what Acts 1:8 says, and I'll quote this again. But it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And he goes on to talk. We'll talk about the second half in a moment. But you will receive power. Isn't it great that we, as we go through life, as we parent, as we're spouses, as we work, as we face challenges we didn't know were coming, isn't it great that at all those times we have a power above and beyond ourselves that enables us, that helps us, that encourages us, that stabilizes us, that gives us peace and hope and confidence that doesn't depend on me. It's not up to me to make it work, to convince myself that it's going to be okay, and to trust even when things are not okay. That is when the Holy Spirit his ministry to us, because he knows that we are not enough. And that's why he sends the Spirit who empowers us. You know, they talk about that the human beings, when we find ourselves in a moment where there's an adrenaline rush, that human beings can do things they normally cannot do, like pick up very heavy things or at least shuffle them off and move something heavy that under normal conditions you can't do. And in the same way, in all those moments in life where we don't feel like we are enough, the Holy Spirit power kicks in. I was mentioning to you last week about vehicles with turbos and how when you press that accelerator and the turbo kicks in and it feels like the car just gets going and you get pushed back into the seat. And he's like, wow, I didn't know this thing could go that fast. Don't do it here, folks. You'll get caught and get in trouble, and I don't want you to do that. But, you know, go to Germany and rent a car and then floor that thing and go as fast as you want. And, you know, my friend was telling me that his wife got a new, the new Trailblazer with 3 cylinders. But you can get a 3-cylinder with a turbo on it. And it's got a lot more power to it. And, you know, having the Holy Spirit in us and allowing Him to work in and through us is like Christians with a turbo. There's more power there. So anytime you feel like you're dealing with a situation that you're like, I just don't know what to do. I can't. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because He is ready, He is willing, He's prepared, and He has all the resources that you and I need. Number 3, we need the Holy Spirit because our mission demands it. That is the word missing. That we need the Holy Spirit because our mission demands it. And again, going back to Acts 1:8, because it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's an invitation for everybody, not just for pastors, not just for church leaders. It's for everyone that is a believer. We need the Holy Spirit. I love what Daryl Johnson, one of my favorite preachers, says. He says that evangelism is simply joining a conversation the Holy Spirit is having with another person. Don't you love that? You don't have to make it happen. It doesn't depend on you. The Holy Spirit's been at work. Remember, we talked about His ministry to unbelievers? I love that. Evangelism is simply joining the conversation the Holy Spirit is already having with another individual. And Daryl is one of my favorite preachers and authors. And actually, on Friday, I'm going to fly to Vancouver for the day to be at a seminar that he will be doing at a church in Vancouver. He's getting up there in age. He wants to share all the lessons he's learned through life with young individuals. A lot of the people that follow him are like in their 20s. I'll probably be the oldest person besides Daryl at this event. But I am looking forward to it, to learn and glean something from somebody who has 50 plus years of ministry experience. But sharing the good news at home or abroad with people you know, people you don't know, we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit, friends. This is why Jesus said to the disciples, don't leave, stay here, wait around. And the day is going to come, of course, happened 10 days later or so, that the Holy Spirit came. And remember that same day, Peter, the guy who abandoned Jesus just a few days before, got up with this courage that it's hard to say he had it other than because of the Holy Spirit. So that's the reason number 3, why we need the Holy Spirit, because our mission demands it. Number 4, we need the Holy Spirit because life in a fallen world demands it. Have you discovered that nothing in this world is the way it was meant to be? Nothing. We have situations like wars and famine and climate change problems and relational problems and money problems and health problems and mental health challenges. And by and large, being a Christian does not automatically protect you from that, because we still live in a world that is fallen, that is in the process of being restored to what it was meant to be. So in the meantime, life comes at us, and what do we say? That life throws you a curveball. Things that you are not expecting. People do things that you never thought they would. People that love you and you love, or at least that's, you know, kind of how you thought it was. And parents do things to their kids, and kids to their parents, and spouses to spouses, and employers to employees, employees to employers, and politicians to the public, and the public to politicians, and on and on and on and on and on. We do not live in a perfect world. Did you find that out already? And then, you know, simple things like we age and our systems weaken and our body doesn't do everything we want it to do and it protests a lot more. And, you know, I see that this baby is being passed around. Little beautiful babies then grow up and they tell you that they hate you and that you know, you wish they weren't, they wish they, you weren't their parent, and on and on and on. I know your kids don't do that, and well, mine didn't either, as far as I know. But life in a fallen world is just complicated. It's difficult. Things happen that we cannot fix in our own. You know, and that is true from sometimes simple things to very complicated things. We need the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit. Again, not necessarily that it's going to fix everything, but we can make it through and keep our eyes on Jesus throughout this time. Listen to what Romans chapter 8 says. A very famous chapter in the Bible. Paul is writing, says, in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. The world's trying to always to tell us that we're strong. You know, if you take this pill, and if you take this supplement, and if you do this kind of exercise, and if you go to this kind of school, and if you wear this kind of clothes, and drive this kind of car, then you'll have no problems. You know, I love those commercials for new drugs. It's going to treat this problem, but then it might cost about 24 other things. And life is that way. Even when good things happen, often there's negative things that somehow result out of things like that. And we're like, oh man, I wish I had known before. But we don't. And so it's okay to say, like the Apostle Paul, he was talking about something. We don't know what it was that he referred to as a thorn on his side. I don't think it was a physical thorn. It was something that really distracted him and bothered him and tormented him. And he said, I asked the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. And the Lord said, no. And then he goes on something that I don't fully understand. He says, therefore, I will more gladly boast in my weakness, because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I like to say that I boast in my strength. But that's not what it says. And so it's okay to admit that we are weak, that we don't have everything life demands on us. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. So again, Paul continues, says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He's speaking in the context of prayer, that sometimes we don't know how to pray. But I think that applies to just life in general. Oftentimes we don't know what to do. And we can say, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us. We need you. Guide us. Comfort us. Strengthen us. Correct us. You remember that Jesus, in the very first public engagement he has at the synagogue, he reads out of the prophet Isaiah. Not this quote I have here. A different one. He says, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to proclaim good news. And he carries on. Well, Isaiah, again, one of the most prophetic and messianic writings in the entire Old Testament, and writes this in chapter 11, speaking again of Jesus, who was yet to come. He says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Friends, can I tell you something? Jesus, who was fully God, and even though I think the old King James talks about that he emptied himself, and the NIV maybe has it a little better, in that he humbled himself, but in whatever it was that happened in this mystery of the incarnation, Jesus did not become less God than he was before. And yet throughout his entire earthly ministry, he depended on the Holy Spirit for everything. You look at his ministry and he depends on the Holy Spirit time and time and time again. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, we need him that much more. You and I need the Holy Spirit that much more. And the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit is available to you and to me, just like he was available to Jesus. Isn't that cool? Jesus did not have a direct line to the Father that you don't have. The Father will listen to you as much as he listened to his son. Why? Because through Jesus' sacrifice and as we've placed our trust in him, now we are children of God, co-heirs with Christ. I'm going to tell you a little story. We'll end from here. This young woman, I met her the day before I left Eastern Europe. We were traveling on the same bus, 6-7 hours. And at some point, she moved from the back to the front to talk to me. And she's from, Indonesia, living in Australia, a nurse. And she was in Eastern Europe serving there. Interesting story with the family and everything else. And she was in a different place than I was. So this is the first time I actually met her. And during that bus, the rest of the bus ride, and later that evening, as a bunch of us went out to do a few hours of sightseeing and to have supper, she just wanted to talk to me. And I was delighted to talk to her. Phenomenal story, and just another wonderful person that loves the Lord and wants to follow him, and overcoming just challenges of life. And the following morning, a bunch of us left the hotel about 4:30. And she was down in the lobby to say goodbye to us. And she gave me a little card, which I want to read to you. And I want to be careful that I want you to understand, it's easy to become the hero of one's own story. And I don't want you to see that way. That's not my purpose at all. But let me read what she wrote to me. She said, "Dear Gilberto, I am so thankful that our paths crossed. In the short moment that we had, I've been very inspired and encouraged by you. I wish I had more time to spend with you and learn from you. Your love for Jesus shines, and I'm blessed to have seen that, especially the way you talked about the people you met in the country that we were. It was with such love and care. And your life is truly a testament of God's faithfulness. So, thank you for being you and what God has called you to be. Thank you for your obedience and love for Christ. And thank you for being such a huge blessing to me on my last day and the very first time I've deployed. May God continue to bless you and keep you. Hope to see you again soon." Why do I tell you this story? Because Gil's such a great person? No. I tell you this story because when we live in the Spirit, when we keep in step with the Spirit, when we acknowledge our need of the Holy Spirit, when we rely on the Holy Spirit, when we call out to the Holy Spirit, you never know who the Lord will bring across your path. That in you just being you, not trying to minister to somebody or try to impress someone, but in just being you, God can use you to bless someone in a life-giving way, in an encouraging way that is impactful to them, and you didn't even know it. Because it's the Spirit working through us. And I could tell you stories like this. It's not because of me, but it's because of the Holy Spirit in me. And the same is true of you. I'm sure you can tell stories too of the Spirit at work. So let's be people of the Spirit. Next week, I'm going to address probably the most controversial part of talking about the Holy Spirit is, when do we get the Holy Spirit? When? A good question to ask. Do a little research, perhaps. When do we get the Holy Spirit? I want to invite the team to come. And we're going to sing the song. And I know there's nothing magical about coming to the altar. I understand that. But I think there's something very important about us declaring publicly something. And in this case, I'm inviting you to come in a moment. After we sing the song, come and say, "Holy Spirit, I am available to you. I am open to you. I need you. I'm not enough. I need more of you." We'll invite you to come. We'll have a moment of prayer, and we'll dismiss. Those of you watching online, we're probably going to go offline at the end of the song, but again, call out to the Spirit of God to minister to you. Post something on our live stream, and we'll include you in our prayers. So can I invite you, as we sing this song, Come Holy Spirit. It's very simple, but it's very powerful, as a declaration of our dependence on Him.